any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband. I haven't heard that message in quite a while. I wonder why. ironic. I reviewed some older stuff, and one of the things I reviewed was a reminder from December 13th of 2021, a little while ago, a little over a year ago. A quote from Chris Prince, my friend, who I thought made an excellent statement, so I'll say it again. Thankfulness is an accurate indicator of our trust in the Lord. Thankfulness is an accurate indicator of our trust in the Lord. You know, it's not if you're happy or if things are going well. But again, what is the only thing we can really offer to the Lord? Thankfulness. Anyway, I was reminded of that. And with Chris, was able to celebrate that again. In doing some research, looking at some other stuff, I was reminded about some older videos, and I actually watched some of them. One of them was number 1336, Postcard to North Hills, Kentucky Big Frog, more on coincidence, Sam's. And it was a coincidence thing that obviously I mentioned yesterday. But one of the things about that, this was talking about the tornado that hit Kentucky, and the at that time, and it was interesting in that it was Al Jazeera that did the report, and because there was an overt Christian overtone, and from Al Jazeera, that was kind of like, wow. But and the family they interviewed was overtly Christian. And one of the gentlemen who I have, if I verify this, yeah, the gentleman in the image, this is December 14th of 2021, his statement about that, you know, about the houses can be rebuilt, but the important thing was people, families. And so I have a link for Al Jazeera. it was a, what was the name of it? How I Saved a Family Buried Alive in Turkey Earthquake. This was, you know, a gentleman, I think he was, anyway, but he talked about a very similar thing about the we can rebuild the buildings, but you cannot set up families again. And I thought that was fascinating. The idea in Kentucky that was stated, the idea in Turkey, basically different words, but the same sentiment. Actually, he spoke in the Turkish language, not in English, so it was the translation. But it's the same sentiment. And I find that fascinating. Because there was that shared idea that people are what's of value, not buildings. And there are some people I value. But for some reason, being denied access to them. But just one other thing. In a similar vein. Okay. Okay. One last quick mention. I did send an email. You know, I went to Cleveland State Community College. Did some interaction there. And I said, okay. I needed to leave university, and I thought, oh, where? So I sent an email to their info and told them about Shofar Leaks and Shofar Book. And I simply, you know, gave a description there, sent a link to, especially the modern day slavery video, had the link, mentioned it directly, and said, I'm looking for somebody, whether staff or student, that'd be interested in a dialogue in the project. And we'll see if it goes anywhere. You know, I figure you keep doing things, you keep doing things. Eventually, sometimes things happen. Has this happened before? Why, yes, it has. So, you know, I tried that again. Lord willing, because that's probably the most likely place here in town. But anyway, I saw two different things today. One was an article, Church of England to Explore Gender-Neutral Terms for God. Women's Clergy Suggestion for Replacing Our Father. I have two links here. One is where I first saw it on Global Research on their website. And then it's a link from another site that was kind of like, okay. But anyway, so I read the article and it's kind of like, it goes back to what I've suggested yesterday, the day before. It's not the issue that they're talking about. You know, they're talking about gender-neutral language. And they're saying, well, we need to adjust our translations of the Bible and the titles that we use in our interactions in the institution of the, you know, of the church in order to be more gender-neutral. When you do that, you're saying, oh, we're trying to get rid of the patriarchy. And because that's obviously bad. There is a mention in the article where the term female is specifically talking about female. The term, the masculine pronouns, just like in English, same thing's true in Greek, are either male or neuter. There are often male, they're often separate male and neuter words, but often the male can be the male or the neuter, just like I say in English. But that's not the issue. You know, that's actually works against that, is bad according to the article. But there's a purpose behind God the Father. Not God the parent, as they suggest, God the Father. There's a purpose in that, that if you don't believe the Bible and its popular opinion, political power that drives you, well, then, of course, you look for gender neutral. If you look into what the Lord says, if you believe he is the Bible is God breathed, then why did he use those words? Again, you have to go back to fundamentals. What is the fundamental? He uses the relationship between the Lord and his elect, the bride of Christ. That's why he is God the Father, God the Son. He is the male role, and then coming back for his bride, the female role. Why? Because the female, and we see this in 1 Corinthians, is subject to her husband. The wife is supposed to submit to the husband, as the husband submits to the Lord. It is... He uses the male-female relationship on purpose. And if you say we want to get rid of that, we want to get rid of male headship, the patriarchy, and so forth, what you're doing is you're saying, God, you're wrong. And I'm sorry. He's not. No, I'm sorry. He's not. He did this for a purpose. If your purpose is feminism, gender-neutral, then your purpose is not to follow Christ. Your purpose is to follow Christ. You get to understand Christ, why he said what he did, not say, well, Christ didn't understand. It goes back to he gets this idea where their version of Christ is simply a flawed man who's trying to do nice things. No, he's our creator. He did things on purpose. He didn't, oh, what do I do now? I didn't think of that kind of stuff. No. You know, he calls out the end from the beginning and things of that nature. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever and whatnot. It's not that he's catching, I didn't realize that society would change in such this way. No, 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 no. He knows what he's talking about. And we don't try to redefine him. We try to understand him. It's a big concern. And the problem is, if you say, no, I'm sorry, I may have a wrong understanding of Christ. in the sense that a lot of the details may be wrong, my understanding, my personal understanding. And that's why I constantly strive to interact with people. And unfortunately, most people run, but I do have a few that will engage me. And the issue is, again, and you do this with all patients, because on occasion, some of us have been stubborn. Not if this ever happened to me. And it takes, you got to be there. You got to constantly be there. And, you know, that's vital, because love doesn't give up. Where did I hear that before? Oh, that was the donut man, wasn't it? But, you know, anyway, my wife gave up. Jim Cross gives up. Institutional church leadership give up. Yes. Christ doesn't. And he commands us not to. And that's why I'm striving to not give up. So on that same idea, the feminism idea, another video came out from the Fuel Project. Farley is his name. Mark? Anyway, the difference is this time, it's now on Kozlowski.org. I'll give you the link to his YouTube. But I put this one on Kozlowski.org. The title is The Brokenness Behind Homosexuality. And I suggest the Church of England article is very related. Why is that? Well, you know, because obviously you break down the gender roles, it's the same underlying philosophy, I would contend. It's breaking down the idea that, oh, a man and a man, sure, that's fine. Same thing. And so there's an issue, and I would suggest he does an excellent job, again, on his video on describing them, describing the issues. And one of the things he said, and it was kind of like, one of the things I wasn't aware of, and I haven't done any checking, there was this one guy, he was real popular because he was a conservative homosexual, Milo Yovanovitch, whatever it is. I don't forget his name. Yeah, anyway, it's in the video. I don't know. He's apparently has, you know, fairly well to do and whatnot, and popular and whatever. You know, again, I don't. I've seen him. I don't know anything about him besides a few little things I've seen about him, in the sense that he takes a conservative, politically conservative position, but is a homosexual, and apparently something's happened that I wasn't aware of. He repented, and I think the implication I got from this, and again, I haven't researched this at all, that he's an acknowledged in the process of repenting, because he's, you know, very clear it's not easy. But, you know, I'm encouraged for him, obviously, very encouraged for him. But anyway, I found that fascinating, because especially for somebody who has that public persona to come out and say, I was wrong. That man deserves respect. That man deserves a lot of respect. A lot of respect. But he says that he looked into, seeing some common threads in the homosexual community, both men and women. And a lot of it is growing up in, well, a broken family. Or an abusive parent or parents. And the one other thing he said that really got to me was a domineering mother. When a mom abandons her husband, she becomes, clearly, takes on the role of a domineering mother. Because she, you know, there's this little thing, a wife is called to submit to her husband. I know that's the Bible and whatnot, and we don't want to go there, do we? Because that's hate speech. But I'm sorry. My kids will know. I said over and over again, this is a love letter from God. The mystery is profound, and I'm saying it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Ephesians 5. My kids don't have that example. And I'm wondering. They don't have a perfect dad. That's abundantly clear. You know, I'm not going to make any claim they had a wonderful dad and he was, you know, faultless in every way. No. There was an article, Babylon Bee. Study reveals every single parent since the dawn of time has had no clue of what they were doing. Guilty. We're amateurs. Every parent is an amateur. I mean, this is a given, and we make mistakes. And have I made mistakes? Oh, yeah, numerous ones. Also a lot of them, and quite a few. So that issue got on my mind listening to this Fuel Project video, and then think about my own kids. My eldest, who did the Keeping the Promise video and now calls herself an atheist and bisexual. My eldest son, who is a practicing homosexual. My second daughter, who, again, the only thing I guess, and it's only a guess, and I would suggest an educated guess, seems to be after the world. What is she like? You know, Julia, I have still an underlying hope, because even though she's been abandoned, at least the last I understand, abandoned by her husband, I think she remains committed to one man alone. I pray that's true. What's happened to George, Susanna, Glory Jane, Walter, and Zadok? What model do they have? They have a model of a mom abandoning her husband. What did we just read? Didn't I read something? Was that in the Bible or something about let the wife see that she respects her husband? Oh, and then, you know, we sure don't want to go to 1 Corinthians 7, do we? To the married, I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe that's unclear. That could be unclear. Let me read the LSV. And to the married, I announce, not I, but the Lord, do not let a wife separate from a husband. Consistent message there. But, and if she may separate, let her remain unmarried, or let her be reconciled to the husband, and do not let the husband send a wife away. I did not send my wife away. I'm just curious here. The ESV, but if she does, verse 11, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. Out of curiosity, NASB, divorce his wife. King James, let not the husband put away his wife. Again, I think that's important because, you know, the LSV, and do not let a husband send a wife away, because it's the apoluo. I'm saying that, it is not the apoluo. Oh, excuse me. Um, Okay. It's a similar word, but not the same. Wow. This is going to require some more research, because it is a different word. It's also translated to divorce. Affami, to or however it's pronounced, to send away, which is based on, again, the oppo, off, or, you know, because the apoluo is to off put, and this is to off send, apparently. Again, I'm just doing that quickly, so I don't know anyway. But and they're in the ESV and the NASV translated as divorce. So it gives you the impression, because again, the state decreed divorce has nothing to do with what the Bible says. Nothing whatsoever. And when it's translated to that word, it gives you an impression that is not what the Bible is saying. But anyway, my concern, the bottom line of all this is, when we see the issue that Farley makes in his Fuel Project video, The Brokenness Behind Homosexuality, he talks about the model that's set before kids. Obviously, there's a sexual abuse issue. None of my kids have had any sexual abuse. You know, I stated, because there was the comment by President Biden's daughter in her diary or whatever about how when she was 9, 10, whatever it was, I don't know, how he would shower with her or something of that nature. And, you know, which would seem to be a little bit on the old side to do that. Maybe it was older. I don't know. But clearly, I showered my kids, all of them, as a baby. I recall, I think the only time I did showered with somebody older, there was an event that occurred where Jack was overheated, and he was, you know, it was getting to his head. He was going a little berserk and whatnot. We, you know, this guy was hot. So he was maybe 8 years old, 6 years old, 8 years old, whatever. And I took him in the shower to cool him off. It worked great. Because this was an evening, and then because of that, I got the whole family because we had a sofa bed. The whole family piled into the sofa bed, and I think we spent the entire night there, as four or five at the time, and watched a movie or whatnot, because the family was having some struggles because of what was happening to Jack. So we entertained them in order to calm things down and let everybody fall asleep. I don't remember if my wife and I stayed with the kids all night or we went to our own bed after everybody was asleep. I don't remember. But I do remember I did take my son Jack into the shower when he was a little bit older. And clearly, there was a pass off to my wife and whatnot. So nothing went on that would be inappropriate. It was done to cool off Jack. And again, it worked. Because I love Jack. I still do. He's my son. But so there has been, at least by the dad, no sexual indiscretions with the kids. None. Zero. Zip. None. And I don't know what's happened to them. I don't know if there's other people in their lives, perhaps, that they haven't been protected from. And clearly we have the issue with Jack and Erica Lee. What's happened to my younger kids? Are they being set up for the same? When I listen to him describe this, when I listen to him describe some of, because he did some, read some stuff from people who were in that culture and repented and described the things that happened to them when they were young. These are my kids. What's happening to my kids? This is a big deal. And especially with a Thursday phone call scheduled. I don't know what's happening to my kids. And if the only thing that matters is money, well, I won't go through it all. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And that's what Thessalonians. And you cannot serve God and wealth, which Jim Cross has distorted. I'm sorry. Our obedience is to Christ. And one of the problems we have is flawed men. And, you know, again, as when Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners, or foremost, I call myself his deputy. You know, especially when you use the translation, like the King James, the chief of sinners, the idea of a deputy, you know, the deputy, chief deputy. That's me. I see sin both in deed and in my heart that I don't actually do, but it's still in my heart. I see that. I've repented of a lot of it by the grace of God, but I'm not pure. So I can't go condemn, but I can proclaim, which I believe is what we're called to do. And then, of course, encourage. You know, it's the, wherever it is, you who are spiritual, bring along the sinner. It's grace is important. Grace is not shown to me, is it? At all. Zip. None. By my own family, extended family, institutional church leadership. Grace is something we say on Sunday, we do not practice. And that's why I'm offering grace in return for the hate that's shown me. It is, I will use for the 487,426th time, the Galatians 2, 2 Peter 3 example. Paul calling out Peter publicly because his actions were not keeping in line with the truth of the gospel. This is applicable to Jim Cross, Renda Keynes, Chris Bitterman, and my wife. And I'm going to call you out publicly with the hope of the 2 Peter 3 response. Our beloved brother Paul showing reconciliation. I am not trying to, you've heard me say this before, Philonikos, I'm not trying to triumph over a friend. I'm striving to reconcile based on the truth, not based on, oh, let's bygones be bygones. Again, that's Islam. It's reconcile. Reconciliation requires bringing things back into balance, meaning sins have to be paid for. Christ paid for the sins to reconcile us to him. When we reconcile with each other, that's why you may have heard me say this more than once, for those who are paying attention. Whatever sin that my wife has done that I can take on in her stead, I will take. Because I love that lady. Because I'm her husband. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the assembly. I love my wife. Whatever she is due, and obviously the only thing I can take is in this life, whatever she is due, I'll take it. That means spending 10 years alone to pay for her sin. Fine. That means spending another 20 years alone to pay for her sin. Fine. I'll do that willingly. But it's my hope, and I believe best for both of us, to reconcile and reunify. It's a real possibility that that's no longer possible. But I don't know that, and I'm going to strive for it. And it is my desire. Thankfulness is an accurate indicator of our trust in the Lord. In the Lord's grace, He has crushed me. He has discarded me on the side of the road, and then picked me up to show His grace. He's shown me grace, fantastic grace in my life. And He's done it by giving me a woman that I love, that I'm fully committed to, 9 kids walking the earth. Even though I don't see these people, haven't seen them for a decade, that's my family. That's the Lord's grace to me. And I'm thankful. I'm trying to love them by pursuing reconciliation, by speaking as best I can, as best I understand the truth to them. Those who deny that, let's give you just a wonderful little tidbit to conclude this with, you know, something light and fluffy, which again I've used before, because it's a tough one, and obviously it hits the homosexuality question again. Revelation 21:8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, adulterers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion shall be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. LSV, but to the fearful, the unsteadfast, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars, their part is in the lake burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's not a comfortable idea. That's an understatement. And again, the thing that's important, that I will reiterate, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, these are sins that we say, these are not a good idea. But we have the 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you. And again, as I pointed out, that is indeed, check the Greek, past tense. In other words, it's you were that. It's not you are that. And why? Read the rest of the verse. Because you were washed by yourself. No, the Lord doesn't. It's His gift to grant you the gift of repentance. So that's why, you know, the fearful and unsteadfast, the coward, ESV, the cowardly. It's not all of them, but those who haven't repented from that because of the important, and I think, again, I've made the argument before, I think the reason I can state this, one is because, well, again, the 1 Corinthians 6:11, but also, and all liars. The word all is in there, pos, the Greek pos, it's all. Meaning, there's no hope for a liar. And I would suggest, the liar thing is, effectively, there's two versions of a liar. Because, again, as I pointed out, there's the false teacher and the liar. The false teacher and the one that teaches the wrong doctrine. The false teacher is someone who knowingly says something that's untrue. The one that teaches a wrong doctrine can be corrected. And I would suggest someone who lies I have lied. Guilty. But it's not my nature. And that's the difference. The sexually immoral, people have done things who are sexually immoral and repent, are not in essence, by nature, sexually immoral, by nature, because our nature has changed. Liars, your lying has changed. Idolatry has changed. Your cowardly acts have changed. You know, I've done cowardly acts. But again, there's a difference between somebody who's done cowardly acts and a coward. But in the case of the liar, it's not someone who lied, but liar, as in it's there, that's what they are. If you're a liar, you have no hope. This is scary. You know, the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, I think this is supposed to give us an idea that this is not going to be comfortable. You don't want to do this. Anyway, on that joyful note, thankfulness is an accurate indicator of our trust in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You granted me Dorothy Jane as my wife. Thank you, Lord. You granted me kids, married and kids, grandkids, Eric, Lee, Brant, Leo, Jack, Tirza, Julia, Isaac, Charlotte, James, George, Susanna, Laura Jane, Walter, and Zadok. And maybe there are others that I don't know about. It's been 10 years. What do I know? I'm just the dad and the husband. Thank you, Lord. These people are my family. I'm abandoned, but they're still my family. And I love them. And I'm going to pursue reconciliation based on the truth. And I'm pursuing my wife because I love my wife, unquestionably, based on the truth, and because I think she's cute. My lady, my wife, I love you and I want you back.